Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, we're going to do three little mini podcasts about particular subjects, about certain news elements that popped up in the Florida State world over the last 48 hours or so. Excited to do this and excited to jump into the first one, which is the Jimbo Fisher contract extension, and have a nice little breakdown as far as what we think both sides are getting out of this and what looks like a what parts of this or when this could turn into an advantageous contract for either party. So with that, let's go ahead and jump right into it. Always interested to get your opinion on damn near anything to do with Florida State athletics, but always good to get a little bit of contract talk out of you, as historically I think you you just have done a good job of understanding and, more importantly, conceptualizing what it is. So with that, let's get into what is a new contract, or at least a contract extended for one coach, Jimbo Fisher.
All right, so Jimbo Fisher got a raise, Ingram, to from about $5.25 million to $5.5 million per year. That is not a substantial raise. I think that if he had gotten a substantial raise after going 9-3 and losing the biggest games of the year, that would have been probably not very well received by the fan base. However, he did get something, and that is paid. Jimbo Fisher got paid because this contract is essentially a 10-year deal. It's an 8-year deal with two options that are essentially going to be automatically triggered as long as he wins 9 games at least twice in 8 years in the regular season. So, I mean, if he doesn't, something has gone very, very wrong. It's not hard to go 9-3 in Tallahassee. So you're looking at what is effectively a 10-year deal, $5.5 million per. The final 2 years in that deal with the options would be about an extra, I think, $200,000 each. But essentially a $55 million contract guaranteed over 10 years. We laugh at Arkansas for doing that with Brett Bielema. If you're going to do that, you probably got to laugh at Florida State a little bit for doing that. We'll get into that. But that may just be the price of poker going forward. Maybe Arkansas was a little early doing that with Brett Bielema, but Texas just gave Tom Herman a guaranteed deal. And I think Matt Rhule got a guaranteed deal from Baylor from what the industry chatter is. Now, what are the key differences in this contract? First, the $250,000 different per year. That's not that substantial. There are a couple key differences. Number one is that Jimbo Fisher's buyout terms changed drastically on both sides, and I think this was a mutual concession that they made. For Jimbo now, if he is going to leave, and this is kind of complicated, but let me explain it. If he's going to leave, he is in charge of buying out the contracts of every coach on staff that he does not take with him to his new school. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, what happens, just asking you a question for conversation sake, what happens with coaches, say he takes a job next year and he decides to take Law and Kelly and Odell Haggins with him?
Okay, if in that case, he would be responsible for buying out all of the coaches he does not take. So, let's say maybe Charles Kelly, right? He would have to pay Florida State the remaining like $2.8 million on Charles Kelly's deal, assuming FSU did not retain him. And look, for the most part, if you're making a big coaching change, the remaining guys on staff are not retained. So for very simple math, let's say that there are 10 coaches on staff and the total staff makes $5 million, obviously for the assistants, not Jimbo. If Jimbo were to take another job and he didn't take any of Florida State's coaches and they're making $5 million, and most of them have 2- and 3-year contracts. So that's, let's just say, 2.5 years remaining on their deals. That would be 5 times, let's say, 2.5. That's $12.5 million. And it's due within 30 days, as opposed to some buyouts which are payable over, you know, years. This is a pretty substantial and prohibitive buyout number now compared to previously, his buyout was $5 million, which so the buyout has in effect probably doubled and maybe in some cases almost tripled, depending on what the contract situation is going to look like.
Are you not, maybe this is a naive question, bud, are you not perhaps incentivizing Fisher to take as much of his staff with him if he does ever decide to leave here?
Well, I think you are. But the key there is, we've always said this, it's not expensive to hire a coach, it's expensive to fire a coach, right? So if Florida State were to leave, what you don't want to do is be left kind of holding the bag on assistants he didn't take and have to pay those guys out on their deals before you go...
start afresh, right?
Right, okay. Exactly. The other thing I think this does is that it really protects the university in case maybe, let's say Fisher went out and really argued to keep a coordinator or to go get a coordinator for big money, and that guy bombed, right? Mm-hmm. And Fisher realizes that's like an anchor around his neck, and he's not going to be able to work it out here, and he decides to bolt for another job. Well, in that case, he's going to pay for that move, right? Because that, like, Florida State's not going to – basically, FSU in this case is not going to be stuck paying millions to a lame duck coordinator because Jimbo Fisher left town. Now, I think this also incentivizes the university to spend more on its assistants, don't you? Because they feel like they're protected. And it basically – and Fisher – it also incentivizes Fisher to make smart coordinator hires and not – mm-hmm. advocate paying people millions of dollars unless he's very sure.
It does let you, if you're looking at it from the standpoint of the university, have a little bit more confidence if you want to go out and really sink money into your assistant coaches, if you want to make a bold move as far as bringing in a big-name coordinator or something like that further down the line. Maybe if you want to bring in another hired gun as far as a recruiter and you're not comfortable paying some of the going wages that are necessary to have a staff like that. So it's an interesting contract for both sides, and it's something that we'll continue to look at and discuss as far as kind of sports contracts go. I would label it almost like a basketball contract in the fact that it's guaranteed money, and that's really the big shift here and the big change. Also, the length of the contract is something that immediately jumps out at you. So I think the best thing for us to do here, Bud, is to talk a little bit about the length of the contract and some of the sliding scale that exists as we go through this contract as far as who is the beneficial party and who really gets the value out of what both parties agreed to.
Absolutely. One thing before we do, I did want to mention the buyout actually might be increasing quite a bit as far as what Fisher would have to pay FSU, because assistant salaries are, I think, inflating much faster than head coaching salaries are on a percentage basis. LSU now has, what, almost $3 million in coordinators? That's pretty substantial. There may be some good foresight here on FSU's part.
Don't they have a position coach that makes $685K or something like that? I mean, it's significant as far as where the money is going on to staffs, and it's a great point. We don't even have to look all that far back to see coaches on staffs making $240,000, $265,000, stuff like that. That's almost unheard of. If you look at
did you see Ole Miss's new DC contract with Wesley McGriff, who has never been a coordinator before?
Yeah, that's a very interesting hire, Ole Miss. But what are the exact details of that, bud?
3 years guaranteed at 1.1. I mean, that is, number one, I think that speaks to the fact that maybe the coaching industry believes Ole Miss is going to get the hammer dropped on them by the NCAA, and they don't want to get stuck there. It's essentially like, all right, if I'm going to go to Ole Miss, I better be making some kind of generational changing money. But at the other time... Or on the other hand, it also speaks to Ole Miss is comfortable paying that. And I think schools recognize the amount of money. I mean, TCU pays Sonny Cumbie like 1.6 to be their OC.
Right.
Assistant salaries really are rising, I think, in no small part to what Dabo has done at Clemson, kind of preaching the all-star coaching cast model. And it can give you some good stability because some of these coordinators are comfortable not moving unless they really get the job they want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, buyout. I mean, I could very easily see a scenario in which FSU's coaching assistant salary pool moves from like $5 million to $6-6.5-7 within a couple of years. That's certainly possible. The one thing that FSU does to keep costs down, though, is that it knows that its true offensive coordinator is Fisher. So they're not probably going to be paying $1.5 million for an OC anytime soon. But let's talk about the length of the deal. 10 years, man, really makes this a complicated deal to analyze. Coaches very rarely stay at a school 10 years, and they very rarely finish out 10-year contracts. Fisher is 3 years away from being at FSU in 10 years. I'll ask you, do you think that he is in Tallahassee in 2026?
In 2026, I would be surprised, but it's worth noting that, you know, I mean, we talk about some of the DNA of programs, and we talked a little bit about how Florida's fan base kind of inherently wants to have an entertaining product on the field and a fast-paced offense, or at least a potent offense to watch. I think there's some aspect of this program that seems to really pride itself on longevity of the head coach position and stability there. And certainly that brings stability. This contract brings stability in a manner that hasn't existed since, you know, probably the middle 90s or late 90s under Bowden. If he is there in 2026, you're looking at having two head coaches over a 54-year period of time. I mean, that's hard to even wrap your mind around what that would mean, and the continuity that has existed at one particular spot on the coaching staff for the football program. That is unprecedented, certainly, and it's not something you're going to find anywhere else if it were to happen. But even with the time period here that you've had a transition and a successful transition from a guy that was a coaching legend into Fisher, who's very much cut his teeth and carved out his own little world here, and his own, you know, certainly has improved upon it dramatically through facilities, modernization of the program, blah, blah, blah. But do I think he's there in 2026, Bud? No, I don't. But I do think that this contract probably means that unless I certainly see him there up until 2020, and that's a pretty significant turnabout in and of itself.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, Ingram, it's time to pay some more bills here, and that means it's time to talk about Madison Social. Madison Social, our longest-running sponsor and faithful Nolcast listeners there with Matt and the For the Table group, doing some great restaurant concepts in College Town with Madso, Central, and Township. And today, we're going to talk about Madso. Couple things I got going on here. Number one, I have a little lament, and I know we discussed this before the show. We both love their Reubens. They do a great job making the meat in-house. But they had some left over, and they made Reuben Benedicts. That made me sad that I did not go to Madso on Sunday to get that for their fabulous brunch, because damn, that looked good.
That looked incredible. It did. That's kind of indicative of what they do. It's an incredible product that they put out. It's certainly pub food with a twist, just with an added twist, bringing you a quality food that you don't necessarily expect to find in a bar, certainly not at a bar in a college town. So it's been a fantastic addition to the scene. You're right, they've been with us, longest running sponsor that we've had, and really as good of a pairing as we could hope for. It's just a fantastic product. It's great people. It's consistency of experience that you have at Madison Social. Particularly as we enter into basketball season, and we'll talk more about the basketball team and another nice little win that they had. But as we enter into basketball season, it's a great place to go before game. It's a great place to go for the game if you're not going to go to the game physically, or if it's not in Tallahassee, and it's a great place after the game. So keep Madison Social in mind year-round, but particularly keep them in mind as we get into the real meat and potatoes of the basketball season.
Now, I think you hit on something there. In paying this huge contract to Jimbo Fisher, I mean, $55, $56 million guaranteed money. Number one, I think they had to guarantee the money I don't know if they had to, but I think they had to guarantee a large percentage of it at least to get him to agree to the flip side of that buyout, the assistant tied buyout. What you're really paying for here is stability of product and a high floor, right? I thought about this last night. If Jimbo Fisher wins 100 games over the next 10 years, Florida State would gladly pay out $55 million to guarantee that. Like, if you went to FSU and you said, hey, I guarantee you that you're going to win exactly 100 games. No national title, maybe a couple conference titles or something. But I'm going to give you 100 wins in the next decade. How much do you think Florida State would pay for that? Because I think they'd pay a hell of a lot more than $55 million. That keeps butts in seats. That is going to good bowl games consistently. That's just not having – like you're not going 8-4 if you're winning 10 games a year, at least not very often. And if you are, that means you're also mixing in some 12-2 type seasons. That is like a – you know, do you think Oklahoma's happy with Bob Stoops? I know some of their fans probably aren't because he hasn't won a title in 15 years. But, man, they certainly play very well in their league. They generally beat their rivals. They win 10 games a year. If you give me an 800 winning percentage, I'm paying you a hell of a lot of money because that is a consistent product. As an AD, I'm really happy if you're winning me 10 ball games a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a great question, Bud, and I would have a hard time putting an exact number on it. But, right, you're very much paying for stability and consistency and the floor. I mean, I think you nailed it there. You've got to think that with a coach like Fisher and the resources that you're going to make available to him, that he's going to be able to put a consistent product out. And more importantly, he's going to have really one of the better recruiting pitches. He's going to be one of the few coaches that can go into people's living rooms and say with a straight face and a certain level of authenticity that might not exist with other people, I'm going to be the coach who's recruiting you right now. I'm going to be the coach when you first get onto campus. And in all likelihood, I'm going to be the coach when you walk across the stage and get a diploma or when you decide to go early to the league. There will be an element of stability and an element of the known that is going to exist with Florida State and what they're going to be able to do on the recruiting trail that's not going to be offered a whole lot of other places. And with that, I would expect Florida State to continue to I don't want to say easily sign top six, top seven recruiting classes because it's not an easy thing at all, but they certainly have all the ammunition there to stack recruiting classes on top of each other and to be able to do that with an assuredness of coaching staff that won't be there with other institutions.
I totally agree with that. Also, I think if coaching salaries continue to inflate even a little bit over the next 10 years, and you actually hold Fisher to this contract, then you're getting a really good deal. Let's say the average coaching salary goes up, I don't know, 10%, 15%, 20% over the next 5 years, which is very possible. This looks like a really good deal for FSU. Now, how does this go bad for FSU? Well, let's say that I think there's a couple ways. Number one, if Fisher's product declines, if that happens, it goes bad in a couple ways. Number one, then you end up paying essentially over market rate. Like, let's say he just averages 9 wins a year. You know, if he becomes more of a 9-3 coach as opposed to a 10-2 coach, that's not good. I mean, think about what a loss does to this fan base. You know, and think about what it does to business. Think about what it does to the Champions Club and the hotels and people buying tickets and booster contributions. I think people very accurately recognize that 9-3 is not that far above replacement level at Florida State. And by replacement level, I mean, what could randomly selected D1 football coach do at FSU? You know, I really think that, and randomly, if you pick me a college football coach in D1, head coach, with some experience, so basically someone who could get, you know, the FSU job, I think the floor is absolutely 8-4, right? Now, if Jimbo Fisher is giving me plus two wins a year, so that means 10-2 or better, yeah, I think that is a really good deal. I mean, that you're paying essentially 2.75 per extra win over 8-4 there on average. That's good value. If he's giving you 9-3, that means essentially you're paying a lot more for just one extra win per year, and that is not good value. But if Florida State has locked in Jimbo Fisher at about $600,000 per win on average per season, that's a hell of a rate, especially assuming some coaching inflation. The other way this looks bad is this. ESPN keeps losing subscribers, right? Coaching salaries, the bubble bursts. And then Florida State is on the hook owing a guy $5.5 million two elections from now. Is that really good business? I don't know. I think Florida State is actually probably in a better position to forecast what's going on with ESPN than others are, or certainly than I am, because they have conversations with the ACC that I'm not privy to. And the ACC is a television partner of ESPN. So they have to be kind of figuring to know better than I do. I have to throw that out there because it's a possibility, but I don't think the coaching salary bubble is going to burst that dramatically, that quickly necessarily. Let's say things go really bad, though. Now, I don't think they will, but you got to look at it from a hypothetical perspective here. If they do, then you're potentially in trouble because, like, let's say you want to fire Jimbo Fisher 6 years from now, and he's already triggered his two options. Well, then you got 4 years left on a deal at $5.5 million plus some bonuses and stuff, and you're looking at having to pay a guy $25 million to get rid of him with 4 years left on the deal. Man, that is prohibitive.
$25 million. I think there's a 30-day window on that as well. So
yeah,
you've got to have. I think the school pays a certain percentage in the first 2 weeks or something like that, and then the boosters are on the hook for maybe the other 90% or something. But yeah, you've got to have 20-25 mil cash on hand, and that's a whole hell of a lot easier said than done at times. So yeah, you're right. The bet here is that you marry yourself to Fisher and that you're comfortable with that and that you think that he's going to be able to continue to perform at a level in which you don't have to start doing where you still have to start multiplying 5.5 times however many deals, however many years that are left on that deal. Bud, want to, as always, thank our sponsors. Louisiana Hot Sauce has been a fantastic addition to the podcast, has helped us immensely with the consistency in which we can bring product, and has taken a big step forward as far as the quality of product that we can bring as well. So I want to thank them as we do always. It's a product that you and I are legitimate consumers of and have a authentic excitement about. And also want to thank the listeners. We've had some incredible feedback, not just feedback that, hey, I purchased it or hey, I bought it, but feedback with us and Louisiana Hot Sauces. Hey, I've got family in town and this is what I cooked, with pictures and stuff like that. It's just, it's worked out really well so far for all parties involved, and want to particularly thank the listeners for as interactive as they've been. And just from a selfish standpoint, it's pretty cool to see some of the dishes that people make and the implementation and how they use Louisiana Hot Sauce.
Right. Another good thing you get, like you mentioned, yeah, the recruiting. I think this will help recruiting because you're going to end the basically yearly speculation. You know, I think at this point, Jimmy Sexton might put this one on the shelf a little bit, you know, and say, okay, at least for a couple of years, I think I'm probably done trying to leverage Florida State into raises and concessions. All right, you just got a 10-year deal guaranteed $56 million. That's I would bank that. I think if you go back and try and hit up the boosters for more and more and more in the coming years, that's probably bad.
Better have a crystal football attached to it. That would be all that I would say.
Now, the other thing I want to point out is this. This is a good deal for FSU, assuming Fisher stays relatively like he's been doing. Assuming FSU doesn't renegotiate this in 3 or 4 years at a much higher rate, right? Like, if you're getting someone locked in to a contract of this length, then you really kind of need to make sure that you extract the value on the back end, because you're really not getting much value on the front end. You know, $5.5 million is not a bargain for Jimbo Fisher in 2017. It is if he's still coaching well in 2020. You can't all of a sudden just renegotiate that unless he's somehow significantly improved, which would be hard to do. You're trading the security and financial security for him. Your end is the stability in the floor you've achieved, but also extracting a little bit of value, hopefully, in the back end of the deal if you're Florida State. So you can't go renegotiate this. Unfortunately, schools do quite often. They get talked into the idea that coaches need the new deal and that they need to more accurately reflect the market rate. I do think that schools would be better served to follow the baseball model a little more, and that is this. With these younger players who are clearly much better than their contracts, the teams will go to them and they'll say, hey, we want to give you a good chunk of guaranteed money to buy out your arbitration years and your option years and your restricted free agency years. And for the player, this is really a bad deal if you look at what they could make on the open market. However, they take them consistently because they're locking in the money because something could happen. They could get hurt. They could whatever. And the teams extract the value not when these guys are 22, but they extract the value when these guys are 25 and 26 and could be unrestricted free agents. But instead, they're still under contract making way below market rate because they kind of took the deal early, and they took that financial security early. We'll see how Florida State does with that, assuming things go well. But yeah, if he still coaches well, then FSU might be getting a total steal of a deal here. We have a one question from David here. I always encourage y'all to shoot questions at thenolecast@gmail.com or on Twitter @Nolecast. Question from David. Any changes expected to the coaching staff? And if so, when can we expect them? I do think there will be at least one change on the coaching staff this year. Most likely that will occur after the bowl game. I have a suspicion that if FSU is targeting somebody to replace a coach, that coach is probably also coaching in a bowl game. I will note that Corey Raymond, LSU's DB coach, Monday night agreed to a big-time deal with LSU. There were some rumors that he was unhappy at LSU, and I think those rumors were floated perhaps by his agent to the media to kind of put pressure on Ed Orgeron to lock him down with the big money multi-year contract. So LSU keeps a top DB coach and elite recruiter on staff there in Baton Rouge, and that really was Orgeron's plan: take less money, lock down the coaches. I'm not sure why he didn't get to Raymond immediately, but you got anything else as far as the contract?
No, I mean, I think that's a good discussion. It's something that we'll obviously be able to circle back and look at throughout the period of time of its existence. I think we've done a decent job breaking down what it initially looks like. And yeah, really the key is the renegotiation. And honestly, if you're not winning a national championship, I think this contract's very fair, good to all parties involved. And if you're not winning a national championship, then I'm not sure there's an immediate need to renegotiate it. So interesting to see how firm Florida State is in that. And I like the baseball analogy that you made. That's something that you get to see in sports and how that's tied to coaching. We will we'll look at and we'll continue to examine and monitor. But, yeah, it's a big commitment on both sides. And it's a big step in having Jimbo Fisher be your head coach for the next 4, 6, 8, however many years that he's here. But it's definitely a significant mark in time between the two parties, and it's going to bring a level of stability here that hadn't existed in the past couple years.
No doubt. All right, guys, as always, subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play Music, Podcast Republic, and anywhere else that you want to hear us on. Let us know. I always appreciate your feedback. And if you enjoy the show, be sure to leave us one of those nice 5-star ratings on iTunes. That does help to keep us as the number one Florida State podcast, as we've been for seemingly forever now, because it's a good product and I think people enjoy listening to us. So have a good one. And we have 2 more episodes coming out, I believe, on the 20th or the 21st. The other 2 will be about sitting out the bowl game, perhaps, and recruiting.